Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Continuing in our talk on the sin that is next to murder, according to the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are, as we said, going through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer W. Kimball, who was the 12th president of the church. One of the reasons that we're doing this is because Mormons have been encouraged to not only read, but reread this book. And so we're doing that. We're going through it and we're critiquing some of the things that Spencer Kimball has said on some very important topics. And this chapter, chapter 5, The Sin Next to Murder, deals with the sin of sexual sin. And he justifies this title by quoting from Alma 39, 5 and 6. And we discussed that yesterday. And by the way, if you want to catch yesterday's show or all previous shows, you can go to mrm.org. And on the right-hand side, click the box that says On Air, and that will take you to a page that lists all of our past broadcasts. And we hope that you'll do that. But anyway, yesterday, Eric, we were discussing something that Spencer Kimball said on page 62 of the book, where he quotes from Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verse 25. And this is what Kimball says. He says, "The Lord apparently rates adultery close to premeditated murder, for he said," and then he quotes, "and again, I command thee that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor seek thy neighbor's life." And as we demonstrated yesterday, that Joseph Smith certainly was engaged in marrying married women. In other words, he was guilty of practicing polyandry. And yesterday I issued the challenge to any Mormon apologist out there, if they can provide me one verse from any of their scripture that justifies a man marrying another man's wife. There is nowhere, folks, nowhere in the Book of Mormon, nowhere in the Doctrine and Covenants, nowhere in the Bible or the Pearl of Great Price, where it allows for any man to take another man's wife to his own. However, when it comes to Joseph Smith, as we have said many times, many Latter-day Saints are willing to look the other way, to turn a blind eye to Joseph Smith's repugnant behavior and somehow justify him in doing so. We read some portions from a Mormon apologetic website, the FAIR website, where they seem to gloss over this and somehow justify Joseph Smith's behavior as if it was okay for him to do this, even though there is no biblical support in order to do this. Now, I want to read something from Boyd Packer. Why do Mormons do this? Why do they do this? This is what Packer said. This was in Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, page 106, and he says this. He says, "There is a temptation for the writer or the teacher of church history to want to tell everything, whether or not it is worthy or faith-promoting. Some things that are true are not very useful. Historians seem to take great pride in publishing something new, particularly if it illustrates a weakness or mistake of a prominent historical figure." He goes on to say, "The writer or the teacher who has an exaggerated loyalty to the theory that everything must be told is laying a foundation for his own judgment." Listen carefully to what he's saying, folks. I know this word is controversial, but this is how a cult behaves. This is how a cult behaves. Information is the worst enemy of a false religion. And Packer is making it very clear. He says, he goes on, "He should not complain if one day," speaking of the historian, "he should not complain if one day he himself receives as he has given. Perhaps that is what is contemplated in having one's sins preached from the housetop." So here, Packer is considering a sin a historian who wants to tell the truth and the whole truth. That's what Packer considers a sin. Think about that. Think hard on that. If you're a Latter-day Saint and you wonder why we Christians struggle with the claim that the church wants to make, the Mormon church wants to make, they're Christian. This is one of the reasons why we struggle with this. This is one of the reasons. Go ahead.
Well, the historians, Bill, have very clearly shown that what we're talking about is true. He doesn't like the fact that perhaps Todd Compton, who comes out with a book called In Sacred Loneliness, The Plural Wives of Joseph Smith. Another book that's written about polygamy is Mormon Polygamy by Richard von Wagner. Rough Stone Rolling by Bushman is also...
He's very candid.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are telling the truth, and that's what historians are supposed to do. Historians are supposed to tell us how it actually happened. You have to make your decision what you're going to do with that information.
Packer goes on. In Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, on page 110, he says, in the church, we are not neutral. We are one-sided. There is a war going on, and we are engaged in it. It is the war between good and evil, and we are belligerents defending the good. We are therefore obliged to give preference to and protect all that is represented in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have made covenants to do it. Notice, folks, they have made covenants to protect all that is represented in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Islam, they have a doctrine called al-Taqiyya. In Islam, al-Taqiyya allows the Muslim adherent to lie in order to protect Islam, in order to protect themselves, in order to protect Muhammad. Mormonism is not much different in the way it allows its people to protect Joseph Smith, to protect the structure of Mormonism. And you wonder why many of us who have studied this subject for as long as we have become very frustrated when we hear LDS apologists get up there and talk about, don't answer the question you've been asked, answer the question they should have asked. Mm-hmm. You wonder why that bothers us? Because that is not how a Christian is supposed to behave.
Sounds more like a politician.
Yeah.
In so many ways, because they're telling you only what they want you to hear, not
spin.
What is reality.
Spin. Now, the question is, Eric, well, okay, so Joseph Smith got involved with these women, and it was more of a religious reason. And many will argue, but he never had sex with these women. And really, isn't that what we call adultery, is when you have sex with another woman, not just marrying them? Well, usually the two go together. And again, the only reason the Mormon God, ever allows for polygamy is to raise up seed, according to Jacob, chapter 2 in the Book of Mormon. That's the only allowance for polygamy, is to raise up seed. Folks, how do you raise up seed without sex?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you do that? You just can't do that. So did Joseph Smith have sex with these women?
Well, the historians say absolutely he did. I'm going to read from In Sacred Loneliness, a book that I mentioned earlier. I think it's my favorite book on the topic of Mormon polygamy. I think he's very straightforward and honest.
And that's why it's a good book.
Yeah.
See, Compton breaks Packer's rules.
Absolutely.
He tells it like it is. Like it is.
The way it's supposed to be
done. And yet,
done.
What does Fair do? This is what's irritating with Fair. They always use this phrase, well, the critics say. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. It's not just the critics saying that. We get that from Mormon sources.
I'm just going to read a few few quotes here just so you get the idea, Bill. Page 12 at the very top, he says, non-sexual marriage was generally not in the polygamous program as Smith taught it. He says on page 13, I'm going to read a little longer section here because I think this is important. He says, in addition, posterity, i.e. sexuality, was an important theological element in Smith's Abrahamic promise justification for polygamy. Now, he goes on and says, since there is a great deal of evidence that Joseph Smith had sexual relationships with his wives, one wonders why he did not have more polygamous children, which is one of the things that Fair said. Well, where are the children?
Right.
Here's what Compton says. However, some of his children apparently grew up under other names, as Mary Leitner suggested, somebody who confirmed this back then. Furthermore, he may not have had numerous posterity because he was not able to visit his wives regularly, because he was often hiding from the law, and because Emma, his first wife, watched him carefully. Why was she watching him? Because she knew.
Obviously, Emma did not like this.
No, she did not.
Excuse me.
Historians say
Smith.
She did not.
No, she didn't.
In addition, polygamy was illegal. On top of these pressures, he soon had many wives, which made it more difficult to visit all of them frequently and regularly. Since polygamists generally had favorite wives, Smith probably neglected some of his. Finally, some of his wives were married to other men in polyandrous relationships, so such wives would probably have had children by their first husbands with whom they were cohabitating regularly, not by Joseph. Nobody would have known because there was no DNA testing back then. All of these factors would have combined to limit the number of his children. However, it is clear that some of his plural wives did have children by him. And then he goes on the next page, and page 14, he says, furthermore, there are no known instances of marriages for eternity only in the 19th century. This idea that he just got married spiritually is not true. And then page 15, the last thing I want to say from his book, he says, in conclusion, though it is possible Joseph had some marriages in which there was no sexual relations, there is no explicit or convincing evidence for this, except perhaps in the case of the older wives, judging from later Mormon polygamy. And in a significant number of marriages, there is evidence for sexual relations. Well, he was having sex, and which Jacob, too, says he was supposed to be doing anyway. But still, the debaseness of the whole situation, Bill, I think it's going to turn off the neutral observer to Joseph Smith and who he was as a person.
But an argument would be, well, see, you're trying to make it some lascivious, you know, that's going on here. And that's what Fair says.
Yeah.
You know, putting that aside, the fact is in our culture, in from what we understand from the Bible, what Joseph Smith did was, in fact, adultery.
It was abhorrent.
It was adultery. It was not understood by the people of his day. It was not just an awful accusation made by critics. That is nonsense. Their own people at that time had trouble with this. Emma had problems with it. And you have Leitner, Mary Elizabeth Leitner, saying that she knew of children. Now, that's not a critic. She was one of his
Absolutely.
Plural wives.
And these are mothers and daughters who are marrying him as well. I mean, I think when you tell the neutral observer, they say, are you kidding me? That's gross.
And again, we have to go back to what Spencer Kimball says on page 62 of his book. He quotes DNC 19:25, and again I command thee that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. How, in good conscience, can you excuse Joseph Smith's behavior on
this? You shouldn't.
Just by saying, well, it was religious? I don't think so. You're in denial if that's what you really believe, sadly.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.